My dreams of volcanoes, as written down in an email to four friends on the 7th of August 2017, after spending some days with them at Schloss Solitude outside of Stuttgart, Germany. Recorded in my home in the north periphery of Berlin, to be played at the launch of Faultline Journal of Arts and Letters in Irvine, California. Friends, it was a joy spending some time with you all at that castle of yours. Real joy. Thank you for your generosity. Thank you for your love. I said at some point the last night, right before I lost the ability to say geography, that I would write down my dreams about volcanoes. It has taken me a while. The dreams themselves are simple enough. What surrounds them are more complicated. I hope you enjoy the notes. I tried to look up volcanoes in Jung's notes on dreams as well, but all I could find were early memories of water. I will include them also. Wind in your sails. Inger. Notes on floating. 1. I lied when I said I swim in the lava of volcanoes in my dreams. I do not. I float. 2. A week ago, in France, a man told me his memories of earthquakes. Growing up in the Pacific Northwest, he had experienced 2. During the latter one, the one he remembers the best, he was dancing in a dance studio. The earthquake lasted very shortly, he said. As it started, he was landing from a jump, and he thought that it was him there was something wrong with. His feet that were shaking, his feet that were breaking. Then he realized it was the floor, and he stopped jumping. Looking up, he saw the mirrored wall without shattering, taking on the quality of waves. 3. Like I have never seen a volcano, I have never experienced an earthquake. Wanting to be closer to this man, to his experience, I told him a story of a different kind of rumbling. I was about the age he was when he was dancing in the mirrored studio. A bit younger, a teenager. 3 friends of mine and I had borrowed a car and driven up the mountains to where the snow had not yet melted in the early spring. Where the road ended, we had strapped on skis and skied even further into the hills. One of the guys was not used to skiing, and before reaching the cabin we had planned to reach before the sunset, it got dark, and we put up a tent by a dammed up lake instead. The lake was covered by ice, covered by snow. We cooked a meal on the small gas stove that we had brought with us, and crawled into our sleeping bags and played cards in the light of our headlamps until we were tired enough to go to sleep. During the night, we were awoken twice by an incredibly loud rumble. None of us dared say what we thought it was. It was dark out. As the sun slowly rose, we exited the tent. There were heaps of snow on both sides of our campground. We were in a narrow slot, not touched by 2 parallel avalanches. We might have survived the avalanches if they had hit us. I've seen traces of bigger ones, and known people who have gotten away. But the wave of snow would have carried us to the dammed up lake, and broken a hole in the ice. And we would have fallen into that hole and into the water underneath. Not the water right underneath the ice, like water is right underneath the ice on regular frozen lakes. We would have fallen for a meter or two in the air before hitting the water, leaving us with the ice over our heads like a ceiling in a room. And we would have laid there in the water with no chance of reaching that ceiling. And what would have killed us would not have been the depth of the water keeping us afloat, but the distance to the ice above us. Four. The man who had been in two earthquakes said it was a really scary story and asked if I could tell him another one, a happier one. I told him a story of two people falling in love. He said it did not have any strong images and he would not remember it. Five. There's something I need to explain about water. It might seem obvious, and it is. You can move through water, swim deep down, duck your head underneath, feel the water moving through your hair. But when you let all your muscles go, you float to the surface. Even with hundreds of meters underneath you, you do not fall. Six. I have not always dreamed about volcanoes. It started about a year and a half ago. I was at the end of a short but intense relationship with another writer. He was living in a country where the tectonic plates meet. On the weekends, we would ride his small motorized bike in the hills surrounding the city, wearing matching red helmets that had faded to an almost yellow orange. Returning home at night, he would tell me stories. At one point, his stories started twisting in his dreams. He would wake up, telling me the story he had told the previous night again, but with a different ending. A bird would no longer find its nest. A band playing songs as the sun set on an army training base in Sabaudia would play mourning songs, not joyous ones. And then, one day, he told me to leave. Asleep, still with him, but alone, in my bed, in my own city, I entered a volcano. I was wearing a protective suit, covering everything but my head, my hands, and my feet. The melted lava around me did not feel hot, and within a few weeks, I no longer needed the suit. I would float. Seven. Now, I do not dream of volcanoes anymore. I dream of touching people. I move my hands to places that are intimate, the inside of the thighs, the soft spots underneath the ribs. Last night, under the full moon, I woke from a dream, as from a fever. In the dream, somebody that I used to know was holding my right hand in his left. Waking up, my palm was burning.